Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to fourth quarter FY22 earnings conference call of Edelweiss Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Priyadeep Chopra, President, Edelweiss Group. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Inba. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our earnings call. We hope you and your families are well. Today we have with us on the call Mr. Rashesh Shah, Chairman and Managing Director of Edelweiss Group, Mr. Himanshu Kaji, Executive Director and Group COO, Ms. Ananya Suneja, CFO, Edelweiss Financial Services Limited, and Mr. Ashish Kehair, MD and CEO of our Edelweiss Wealth Management business. We hope you've had a chance to review the investor presentation as well as the addendum on our wealth management business that we filed with the exchanges on Friday. During the discussion today, we will be making references to them. Please do take a moment and review the safe harbor statements in our presentations. We will be making some statements today that may be forward-looking in nature and hence may involve certain risks and uncertainties. With that, I will hand over to Mr. Rashesh Shah to begin the proceedings of the call. Thank you, and over to you, Rashesh.
Thank you, Priya, and very good afternoon to all of you. Welcome to this earnings call for the quarter ended and the year ended March 22. First of all, hope you and your families are keeping well. I think for everybody, FY22 started in a challenging way, improved, and also ended in a fairly challenging way. So it was in all, I think, a very interesting year. Q1 saw COVID wave 2 in India, which was really a very bleak period. And I hope all of you and your family were fairly well in that. It was a fairly very tiring phase for India. Q2, Q3 saw some overhang, but things started coming back to normal. And Q4, obviously, with the Ukraine war and the geopolitical escalations and inflationary pressure, is what it has been. And so I think even though COVID overhang is still there, I think we are starting this year, FY23, with what it appears to be that COVID is at least behind us. Of course, there are a lot more challenges in front of us, including inflation. But I think India as a whole, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, is a lot better place than it was in the last few years. One of the things we talk about in India is the government balance sheet and the tax revenues are very strong. The Reserve Bank of India balance sheet is fairly strong. The bank's balance sheet is very strong and the corporate balance sheets are very strong. The only balance sheets which have got slightly impacted in COVID has been the household balance sheet, where households have had to borrow to just keep up during the COVID time. But outside of that, I think corporates and banks have the healthiest balance sheet that we have seen for quite some time. At Edelweiss, our focus has been on building resilience. As you know, last 3-4 years have been challenging, but we have also used these years to become stronger, make the balance sheet stronger, but also make the organization stronger by restructuring. And we've spoken about that, and we'll speak a lot more about how we are restructuring organization going forward. And we want to be strong enough so that we shield against short-term disruptions and continue to focus on creating long-term value through our businesses. We are now structured around 8 businesses, as you would have seen in the presentation, and each of those business has got a lot of growth opportunity around that, from NBFC to housing finance to AMC to ARC to life insurance to general insurance to wealth management and alternative asset management. All of these businesses have a fair amount of growth opportunity. All of them have done very well, except credit businesses, where we continue to scale down as part of the stated policy of bringing down the wholesale book and growing the retail book, but mainly through co-lending. And we have made a lot of progress on that. So I think this year we saw steady performance across all the businesses on the stated objectives. and we have culminated in ex-insurance profit after tax of 405 crores for the year and 104 for the quarter. So overall, consolidated PAT is also healthy, 42 crores for the quarter. Still, we have a long way to go to what our aspirations for the next few years are. But given the restructuring and the scale down in the credit business, this is a fairly good achievement in this quarter. 4 years ago, credit business accounted for almost 80% of our profits. So as the wholesale credit business scaled back post ILFS, and we also decided to go asset light, we have to rebuild our profitability through different vectors rather than the credit vector. So as I said, consolidated profit at 42 crores for the quarter and 189 crores for the whole year. Our board of directors have approved a final dividend of 1.20 rupees per share, which along with the interim dividend will take the total dividend to 1.45 rupees per share for the year. This year also saw an interesting milestone for us where our customer reach is now at 5 million. We have reached about 50 lakh customers across all the businesses of Edelweiss, and this is a 20% growth on a YOY basis. But this has also helped us grow the customer assets, because as we become asset light, our customer assets is one of the most important parameters that we watch, and we now have total customer assets of 3.6 trillion rupees. And it has shown a growth of 30% YOY for FY22. Our balance sheet is strong, the businesses are well capitalized, and our three stated priorities for the year, which was EWM value unlocking process, which is underway, the reduction of the wholesale book, which both I think reduces the size of the balance sheet, but also unlocks a lot of equity which is embedded in that business. Almost 30%, 3,000 odd crores of equity is embedded in the wholesale book. And the third was to scale up asset management and insurance. And on that, there has been very good progress in this year. Both our asset management businesses and both our insurance businesses have shown significant growth. This year, we also sold the remaining 9% of our insurance broking business in this quarter to Arthur Gallagher. And the other four or five highlights for this quarter, which are there in the investor presentation, I just want to spend a couple of minutes on them. One is significant improvement in asset quality. Well, what we are very happy about is, in spite of COVID wave three, in spite of all the challenges in the economy, our credit book now has a GNP of 2.5 and NNPA of 1.8 on March 22. If you remember, last year our GNPA was 6.7% and NNPA was 5.8%. So in spite of the book growing, because the denominator has come down, we have brought down the NNPA from 5.8 to 1.8. This, I think, is a singularly big achievement for this year. Our total provision cover is also now at 189%, which was 70% last year. And we continue to be very conservative and proactive in provisioning and impairment, as we have seen over the years. Our item two after asset quality is the customer franchise. Continues to scale up well. We have invested a lot in digital ecosystem, synergistic partnership, and as I said, our customers are now 5 million customers, added almost a million customers in this year, and our mutual fund doubled the customer base. Wealth customers grew at 22%. General insurance saw 20% growth. And our customer assets are 3.6 trillion rupees. On the digital ecosystem, our mutual fund has one of the shortest transaction journey. Our general insurance business, which is conceived as a fintech business, has also invested a lot. And across the board, including in retail credit co-lending partnerships we have done, with State Bank of India, Central Bank of India, Standard Chartered Bank, and this has also been a very gratifying achievement. Though in co-lending, it's early days, the numbers are small, but we expect our credit, retail credit businesses to grow a lot in partnership with banks. So rather than we borrow from banks and on-lend it, with co-lending, we will be giving loans to our customers and using the 80-20 model for partnering with banks. Item three, we have a robust balance sheet, very well capitalized business. All our credit businesses have capital adequacy of more than 25%. Our DE, consolidated DE, is now at 2x, which at the peak about four, five years ago was about 5x, has come down to 2x. And we have liquidity of about 5,500 crores, which is 23% of our borrowing. And our three priorities, as I said, scale down credit, wholesale credit asset, demerger of the wealth management business, and scaling up asset management insurance have done well. I think NBFC, as I said, asset quality improvement, a big one, and the partnerships with banks, and especially with Central Bank of India, wherein this year we have disbursed 100 crores in the MSME book in partnership with them. And we are also in advanced stages of discussion with State Bank of India, IDFC Bank. Our MSME retail collection are at 96% for March quarter. Even on housing finance, we have grown quite a bit in PAT. Profit has grown 2.5x. We have a lot of equity in this business, but as we have not grown in the last few years, now scaling up will be the vector for driving profitability. Collection efficiency was actually more than 100%. Provision cover is more than 77%. And we securitized more than 850 crore portfolio in this year. A key other achievement in housing finance has been the co-lending partnership with State Bank of India and Standard Chartered Bank. Mutual fund has had a big growth in profit, but more than that, improved market share by 50 basis points. This is a very competitive business. Our rank of AUM for the industry at the start of the year was 15. At the end of the year, we are at 13. So we have improved quite a bit in our ranking also. And our share of equity AUM for this year was 23%, which was, I think phenomenal. And equity AUM, earlier we had Bharat Bond and all, which was a vector for growth. But for FY22, the mutual fund has grown with equity AUM. Alternatives asset management also has a strong growth in profitability, and we are currently in fundraising mode for three of our funds. And we hope that in this year, we close these three funds also. And we have, in ARC, we continue to focus on building our retail capabilities. Wholesale, we have been a leader, but in this year, even in retail, we have a large market share. We had robust recoveries. We recovered 2,700 crores in this quarter in ARC and 6,900 crores for the year. This is collectively over the last 4 years, this brings our recoveries to more than 30,000 crores. So, the key point of our AR, the key focus of our ARC is recoveries, and we continue to be very strong on that. ARC has a very, very strong balance sheet and a lot of liquidity. Both our insurance business have had a very strong year, and wealth management, which is a standalone business getting demerged in this year, has now assets under advice of more than 2 lakh crores, 30% growth YOY. Strong financial performance for this year, and as our borrowings have improved, the loan against share book has grown by 95% on a year-on-year basis. So I think with that, we continue to be very unexciting in terms of what we are achieving, because we want to be very, very steady. We want over the next 4-5 years to continue to grow value, continue to unlock value, and the 8 businesses we have, each of them have a very strong platform, have strong track record. All these businesses are more than 10 years old, but now have a lot of growth ahead of them in the next 10 years. We do think that this is, from a macroeconomic point of view, the coming year, FY23, is going to be a slightly difficult year with inflation, interest rates expected to go up, liquidity tight, foreigners selling in India. We expect it to be a challenging market for financial assets, both equities and bonds, but things like real assets, like real estate and infra assets, those will do well. A lot of our funds are focused on that. So we do expect that value of real assets will go up because they are linked to inflation, while equity markets and bond markets will see challenges and headwinds, as we have already seen that. So at a macroeconomic level, it's going to be a challenging year. Fortunately, at a microeconomic level, India is very well poised. The company's balance sheets are strong. Economic growth is coming back. Employment is also scaling up. and all the measures government has taken on digitization and the India stack and all, a lot of that is going to drive growth. We are seeing very robust income tax collections for the government. So I think at a micro level, very strong environment, India is very well poised, but there will be macro headwinds. If you look at last 4-5 years, the macro environment was very benign, while the micro environment, banks had huge NPAs, corporates had a lot of borrowings, growth was coming down. Last few years was a story of good macro, bad micro. I think the next 2 years is going to be bad macro, but good micro for India. And on that, I think Indian companies have always done well. So the Indian story of the corporate India is what we think is going to be there for the next few years. For us, this year, the focus will be completing the Edelweiss Wealth Management demerger and listing, which is expected to complete it by Feb 23. Demerger should happen by December and listing by Feb 23. Continue to scale up our asset management insurance business. We continue to make our businesses very independent. They now have their own balance sheet, their own governance, their own boards. And each of the 8 businesses on their own are now very strong and very well positioned within their marketplace to grow. One important part is steady reduction of wholesale. We expect to reduce the wholesale book by another 4,000 crores in this year ending March 23. And by March 24, it will fall by another 3,500 crore. The current wholesale book is about close to 10,000 crores, which will slowly come down over the next 3 years. And that will make our balance sheet stronger and release a lot of equity. So I think, and to end it, strong balance sheet, comfortable liquidity, scale of retail businesses, asset-light model are the foundation for our growth ahead. So once again, thank you all of you for your patience, for your support in the last few years. And we will now open for questions, Priya.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and 1. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Arun Malhotra from Capgrow Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Congratulations on good set of numbers. I think majority of the businesses are moving in the right direction. Couple of things, Rashesh. One is the asset reconstruction business has done exceedingly well. Is this a steady number which we can extrapolate going forward, or there will be lumpiness in this?
So I think on ARC, if you see, we continue to have a fee income of about 800 crores a year, and now we have an equity base of 2,500. If you see, the equity of ARC business is 2,500 crore. It's a good business. We expect to make ROAs of about 6-7%. Unfortunately, the gearing has come down. 3 years ago, the business was geared 3 times. Now we are gearing is only about 1 time. So as a result of that, we should make about 10-12% ROE on that business. And it's not just our ARC. All ARCs are facing this issue that it's a good ROA business, but gearing up that business, because the banks don't lend to ARCs. They were dependent on bond market, and after IL&FS, the bond market have also become unsteady, and the long-term borrowing, because ARCs need 5-year, 10-year borrowing. So we still have some borrowing, but I personally think ARC will be geared 1:1 and will make about 6-7% ROA. So if you make 6% ROA and you are geared 1:1, you should make a 12% ROE. So 10-12, if you see, is what we are averaging. I think that will remain. And as I said, a large part of the profit, almost 65-70% of the profit comes from the capital and the fee income that we get. So that is going to remain steady.
Sure. Second is on the NBFC, what would be the focus going forward? I know we are going to make it more granular, But have we tightened the credit process enough so that we don't repeat the mistakes that we have done in the past? That's one. And also would like you to comment on the excess liquidity which we have on the books, part two. And lastly, one more. You know, we have been one of the topmost brokers. You have been a very astute investor. Our stock has not done anything for last 10 years. Is the management concerned about it? Are we really looking at it that way, that there have been no return for the shareholders?
Yeah, I will answer all of them. I hope I remember all the questions. And I envy my colleague Ashish also. I forgot to mention Ashish Kher, who runs the wealth management business, and he is also on this call. In this quarter, we added an addendum on wealth management, because I think as that business has become large and getting listed on its own, there was a lot of investor interest in understanding that business specifically. So if there are any queries on that, Ashish is also on this call. I think I'll try and on the NBFC, obviously a lot of the, if you see, we've been doing retail like mortgages and SME for last 10 years. We have not had any stress in that, in spite of COVID and ILFS and all that. So I think our retail NBFC has been fairly steady. Wholesale, obviously, there were a lot of asset quality issues. About 70-75% of that were mainly because projects got stalled. There was not liquidity available, and basically the developers or the projects were weakly funded. So those obviously were the learnings we have had. A large part of that also became an ALM problem. So if you look at the wholesale credit business, the credit cost, which was expected to be 2%, ended up being 4%. So that was obviously a setback. But a 2% per annum credit cost is what you expected on the wholesale book. Actual experience was about 4 and slightly more than that on the wholesale credit business. A lot of that was also ALM related, because you had to repay your loans while your projects were stuck and the developers were not paying you. But fortunately, as real estate is improving, housing market is improved, a lot of the projects we have, the underlying collateral is there. And that's why if you see, after last year, we have not had to take any impairment for the last 4 quarters. So I think on the wholesale side, as we are moving more and more to asset management model where you have holding power, because a lot of this requires holding power. You can't have a 3-year loan that you have to repay, and you have given a 3-year loan to a developer, because the 3 becomes 4 or 5. You might still make your return. So I think the learning on the wholesale book has been, yes, underwriting some weaker projects were funded, some weaker developers and maybe weak counterparties were there. That was what we learned. Credit cost was higher, which can be adjusted in the pricing. But I think moving it to an asset management model, which is what we have been doing for wholesale book, has been one learning. Our retail businesses continue to do well, but we have decided that we have a lot of equity. So our credit business, we have 3,000 crore equity currently allocated to the wholesale business, another 800 to the mortgages business, and another 550 crores to the SME business. So the mortgage and SME business has got adequate equity and has a lot of growth, especially in the co-lending model. So there we will continue to invest. We have done a lot of work on technology, and the co-lending partnerships we have with State Bank, with Standard Chartered Bank, with Tata Housing, all of that has underscored that our underwriting and collection on the retail side has been underscored by a lot of partners. Wholesale, we have had a lot of learnings both on the underwriting but on the format. I do believe that wholesale credit business is not a right business for any bank or NBFC. It is a much better business for AIFs and funds who have the holding power and the long-term flexible capital on that. So I think that's your answer on the NBFC. As I said, I may not remember all the questions. The other you asked about the stock price, we do acknowledge that last few years. So if you look at on a 10-year basis, obviously NBFCs or financial services have gone out of fashion and come back. We also paid a fair amount of dividend in the last 10 years. But last 4 years, our earnings have come down. Our balance sheet has come down. The gearing from 5X has come to 2X. And we have had to make a call on whether we protect the balance sheet or we protect earnings. And we have had to protect balance sheet for obvious reasons, as I'm sure you'll understand. our earnings have deteriorated in the last few years. Now, fortunately, the trend is that we are repairing earnings, and I've seen that there are two ways of valuing a company, the stock price, either the intrinsic value, which may be a long-term private equity investor, somebody who has a 10-20 horizon, can take a call on that, but unfortunately, the markets don't have enough information on that, which I acknowledge, or on earnings or market growth fancy. So 3 years ago, NBFCs were very fancy. They were trading at 3x book value. Now, most NBFCs and even banks are at book value or below book value because somewhere, I think, credit growth has gone, except for a few exceptions. I think for most of them, the excitement around NBFC business has come down, around credit has come down. But along with that, our earnings have come down, and we are confident as we repair our earnings and we grow our earnings, the underlying value is there. We've been building value. We have not yet converted a lot of this value into earnings. That is the job of the management. So next 4-5 years, we remain committed to not only convert the intrinsic value we have built into earnings, but also and grow the value, but also unlock value. Because as you can see, even now, about 45% of the company is still held by insiders, and we have another 5 or 6 core large investors from external investors who own another 25% of the company. All of us collectively are very committed to growing value and unlocking value. But the precursor to growing value is to building value, which is what I think if you look at most of the parameters on customer additions, AUM, or we are doing all the right things. We hope those right things get converted into earnings. And post-earnings, as we have demonstrated with Edelweiss Wealth Management, we remain committed to unlocking value.
Sure. And that was helpful. And lastly, you have passed a resolution for raising funds in the form of rights, QIP. Any thoughts on that?
I think this is just an enabling resolution. We don't expect to raise any equity money. As we said, we are only 2x here. We have a lot of equity out there. We have just taken the enabling resolution for any instrument, because we have, as you can see, some borrowing which we have to roll over. So every year, like last year, we, I think, repaid about more than 8,000-9,000 crores and raised only 3,000-4,000 crores. So every year we are repaying more than we are raising, but some rollover we have to do. So we have given a slide which explains all the borrowing we have at a group level. So we expect that we will, in the next 3 years, go towards with zero debt at the holding company at EFSL level, but some we have to roll over, so we have just taken an enabling resolution. I personally don't think we will need to borrow more than 500 to 800 crores in this year.
Sure. All right. Thank you, Ashish. Thanks, team. Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Krish Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Shah. So I just have one question. So you've spoken about value unlocking in your investor presentations in multiple occasions in the recent times. Can you please throw some light on what are the plans on that front?
So I think the first one we have is on Edelweiss Wealth Management that we have shown. Also the insurance broking that we sold to repay debt at the holdco level, which is also because that is also building value. I think what we have done is the 8 businesses, including wealth management, each of them has become independent. And we remain committed to either IPOs or demergers in the coming years to unlock value in those businesses, which is the life insurance, general insurance, housing finance, NBFC, ARC. Each one will have their own contours. Like, for example, currently, as per RBI rules, ARCs are not allowed to IPO. They are not allowed to be listed. So we'll have to find our own way of unlocking value in that, either through dividend payouts and whatever else, because that business has strong earnings. But I think through either dividend buybacks as well as demergers and IPOs, these are the 4 vectors we'll use. And as we said, our idea was to make the businesses stronger, which I think we have done in the last 2-3 years, convert that into earnings and value creation, and then unlock the value. By actually unlocking Edelweiss Wealth Management, we have demonstrated the first example of that.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Harshal Solanki from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, team. I have one question. In your presentation, you have mentioned that you have reduced 30% of your wholesale assets in the past 2 years, but are projecting a 60% reduction over the next 2 years. So I'm trying to understand what will you do differently to achieve this?
Well, that 30% was over a 18,000 crore book, while now the book is only about 10,000 crores. So 60% is about 6,000. We've been reducing the book by about 3,000 to 4,000 crores every year. So in this year also, we expect to reduce it by 4,000. So 10,000 should become 6,000, and then we hope to reduce another 2,500-3,000 in FY24. So I think, as we said, every year we are reducing it by 3 to 4. At the peak in 2018, our total wholesale book was 22,000 crore, which has now come to 10,000. So we have, in the last, say, 4 years, reduced about 11,000 crore in that book.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Mahavir Jain from Astrum Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on good set of numbers. I had a question on the mutual fund business.
Mm-hmm.
So your mutual fund business has seen strong inflows, especially on the equity front in the current year. However, there is a increased volatility in markets due to global macros. So how do you see the impact on the mutual fund industry in India as well as Edelweiss AMC?
I think the growth we have seen in the last 2-3 years, maybe will get tapered, but I still think there will be growth, because as you see, you know, I think SIPs have reached about 12,000 crore, and I think there is a increased commitment to SIP based investing and all that. In our case, we have a good portfolio. I mean, our three main platforms in our mutual fund business: one is equities, which we have grown in this year. Other has been our ETF on debt, the Bharat bond and all, which we still think, especially as bank interest rates and all, as inflation goes up, the bank deposits may not be as attractive. And ETF, especially Bharat bond, has been a replacement. It is a substitute to bank deposits for a lot of investors, because it's, I mean, for retail investors, it's almost overnight liquid, and you get 100 to 200 basis point more on an after-tax basis on the Bharat bond than you would get in that. So we continue to think, as inflation goes up, Bharat bond will become more attractive to FDs. It may not be, bonds itself might not be great that attractive, but I think FD to a Bharat bond should be also a good vector to continue to grow. And our third has been the Balance Advantage Fund, which we think in this, you know, volatile times, the balance funds will do very well, because I think investors will want some certainty of steadiness with growth, because it's not going to be that the equity markets will go down. There will be increased volatility, but we do think India corporate earnings and all will go up, so there will be some equity upside sporadically. But overall, I think this year, even if you see it will be a single-digit growth for the mutual fund industry, which is not bad after the last 3 years of more than 14-15% growth. I think a single-digit growth for AUM for the mutual fund industry is not bad. But our three planks, equity, balanced, and Bharat bond, I think we have some positive drivers in all of them.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Ankit Agrawal from Yellowstone Equity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for taking my question. First one is, what is the monthly disbursal rate we are currently doing for NBFC and housing finance businesses?
So currently on the NBFC for this quarter, and it has been mainly SME, because we don't do any wholesale disbursements anymore. So NBFC for this quarter was closer to 200 crores for the quarter, and we can do more, but we want to do it in co-lending partnerships. So we are allowing the partnerships on co-lending with central bank and all to keep on stabilizing. But it's growing by 20-30% every month, the co-lending disbursements out there. So I think on the NBFC, we are at about close to 200 crores a quarter, and on housing, we are at about 350 odd crores a quarter. Our idea on housing is to go to 1,000 crores a quarter, and on NBFC to go to about 400 crores a quarter.
When you say a quarter, you mean monthly run rate?
Yeah, divide by three. Basically, you can divide by three. Because what happens in the quarter is also get bunched up. So we look at quarterly disbursals rather than monthly. But when I say 350 to 400 a quarter, it's about 100 to 120 a month in housing.
Right. Okay. And just on the BMU, where does that sit? Like, is it part of the standalone or is it spread across the businesses?
The BMU is standalone, it's more the holdco. And what has happened is last few years we have borrowed money at the holdco level. We have in the last 3-4 years of the liquidity crunch kept about between 2,000 to 2,500 crores at the holdco level for use of the businesses underlying and make sure that we never had any liquidity crunch, which could be, you know, a lot more damaging. And some of this borrowing was expensive. So because it was expensive borrowing, a lot of that borrowing expires in FY23 and FY24, because a lot of this was 3-year, 4-year contracted borrowing we have taken. So that is largely where the holdco is. And the holdco also has the basically corporate, and BMU also manages the liquidity and treasury for itself and also makes investment in the operations of the holdco, which oversees the businesses and all. As the businesses grow, the dividend income and all will start coming in. Currently, we are not yet pulling money out of the businesses as yet.
Right. But the standalone entity does not have anything apart from BMU, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the gain from the sale of insurance broking business, that would have booked in BMU?
Yes, that was booked in BMU.
Okay, okay. So basically the liquidity cost and other fair value changes offsetted the gains from the sale of insurance booking.
Yeah, as we have said in the past, Ankit, I think the excess liquidity and the expensive liquidity that we are holding at the holdco was annually costing us about 300 crores, and it is, we are hoping 300 crores a year, and we're hoping it will come down by 25 crores every quarter as we go forward, as we repaying borrowing and all that. We had to do it because unlike others, we are not a big corporate house, so we had no, you know, group company to fall back upon if we needed 300-400 crores because of any shortfall. So we, in 19 and 20, we decided to hold this extra liquidity at the holdco, at the BMU level.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Vishal from Real Value Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is very good numbers. I was going through presentation and I had 2-3 questions on credit side.
Mm-hmm.
So significant improvement in asset quality. What are the factors leading to this and how much that can be contributed to wholesale and retail? And are we going to see same improvement in coming quarters also, or we will say it gets studied now?
So I think on the whole, on the credit side, as I said, retail has done very well. So retail has been steady. The improvement you are seeing from last year when NNPA was 5.8% has come to 1.8% has been largely on the wholesale side because of 2-3 reasons. On wholesale, we, in 2021, we proactively provided, we, I think, accelerated a lot of our provisioning. So you might see some other NBFCs still having provisioning drag coming in. We actually upfronted all of that, provided for that. However, the underlying portfolio, especially housing and real estate, is doing well. So recoveries are strong. And as the recoveries are coming, the NPAs are improving. In fact, it's very commendable because the usually when a book is shrinking, your NPAs go up. They don't come down. And in this year, though the credit book has shrunk, the NPA has also come down because a lot of the NPAs that we had, we have been able to recover or make them standard. because a lot of these projects are good projects. Unfortunately, 19-20, everything got stuck because of liquidity and then COVID and all. So as the projects are coming, I think real estate is doing well. Housing is doing very well. So we expect to not have any asset quality issues, though I think as the book is shrinking, a 1.8% NNPA should be as good as it gets. So if our NNPA is around 2%, we'll be continue to be satisfied with that.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Hitesh from Citibank. Please go ahead. Hitesh, could you please unmute your line and go ahead with your question?
Hi, good evening. Thanks, Rashesh, for your inputs, especially on the alternative side. I understand that this is a focus area for the group, but you know, the AUM for FY22 increased only by about 500 crores, and given the macro conditions that you hinted in your presentation also, should we expect an increase in H1 23, or you think that the focus will be more on deployment? And if you could just add, you know, an outlook for profitability and scale that you envisage for this business.
So, as you know, the alternate AUM, the alternate asset management business, the AUM is not like mutual fund. It doesn't come every month. It takes about a year, year and a half to close a fund. So, we have three funds under closure right now. Stressed Credit Fund number 2, ISEF 3, as we call it, our EYIP number 2, and our Credit Plus Fund. So we expect to close three funds in this year. We did close almost about 9-10,000 crore the year before. So unfortunately, in alternative asset management, you might have 1 year where you will have AUM, which is, you know, you will add 8-10,000 crores of AUM. I would say in this business, along with AUM, investors should also look at the deployed capital, because the deployment of capital is an important one, because AUM is only that you have raised of 8,000 crore fund, and that 8,000 crore fund will get deployed over 3 or 4 years. So that is an important vector to also look at, that how much have you deployed in this year. And in that sense, this year alt asset management has been fairly good. We have been able to deploy a fair amount of capital, also exit a fair amount of capital. So that has been good performance on the alternative asset management side. I think we have a total AUM of about 35,000 crore, out of which 25 is deployed. So that is has been the good growth in this year. If I'm just looking for the number on alternatives for this year, we had a 25% increase in our fee-paying AUM, because when we raise an AUM of 8,000 crore, we only earn fees when we deploy the money. So if you raise 8,000 crore and deploy 2,000 crore a year, your first year 2,000 crore is fee-paying AUM. So in this year, our fee-paying AUM is now 17,600 crores, which is a 25% growth. And we had deployment of 4,900 crores in this year, out of which 1,650 crores were deployed in this quarter. So I think the fee-paying AUM is the one I look at the most. So we may not have growth in AUM, but the fee-paying AUM had a 25% growth, and that is also reflected in the increased profit after tax for the alternatives business.
No.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to Ms. Priyadeep Chopra for closing comments.
Thank you, Rashesh, and thank you very much, everyone, for your time today. Please feel free to write into us at Edelweiss Investor Relations for any questions or any other additional information you may need. Once again, thank you for your time. Have a great week ahead and stay safe. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Edelweiss Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.